Far back, and that's a joy to, because I heard a couple of days, one day maybe before you were coming back, that there was an American that was killed then. Yeah, I was, kind of gave me a little bit of anxiety there. But anyway, I also picked up something that I wanted to share with you. You know, this is Beaver Falls Baptist Church, right? And it's named after a falls. And if you haven't gotten to one of these calendars with a PUD calendar, by the way, Columbia River PUD, you got a picture of Beaver Falls right on it if you haven't seen it yet. So pick one up if you haven't, if you can, still get one. Anyway, I'll try to leave it right there for now. I've got some thoughts here I want to share with you. I want to give you some illustrations from nature, illustrations from the animal kingdom. And I think that some of you have heard some of these before, but nevertheless, I'm going to share. Before I do, let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to be here tonight. Lord, I thank you for your grace to all of us. Thank you for bringing Pastor and his wife back safely and all the family being here tonight. Thank you for that. And Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in every life. Encourage Daniel tonight. He's not feeling well. Far. Meet his needs, Lord, and strengthen him. And others who may still have some sickness. But Lord, let us look into your word now. Help me to share the thoughts that I need to share. I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, I used to work at a zoo. I didn't really work in the zoo as far as a zookeeper or anything like that. But I worked all around in the Lowry Park Zoo in Tampa, Florida. And I was a teenager at the time. Until in my early 20s, I worked there. It was not something that I was a worker in the zoo, but I was in the zoo a lot. And I did a lot of mowing the grass and just different things like that, planting plants and bushes and hedges and so on. And I was with the animals as much as I could be because I like animals. I'm sure you do too. And when I started out in the morning to get over to the park where I had to, if I had to be in the zoo that day, I'd look up in the trees and the big pine trees there, and there'd be a whole bunch of peacocks up there. And so I started my time with the peacocks and I used to be able to do this, and I'm not going to try it because my throat is not the same, but I would make a peacock yell and have all those peacocks just go crazy. I loved it. It was great. There's also, I had an elephant call, and I had a chimpanzee call, and different things. But I would go in there to, let me give you my first critter tonight that I want to share with you. It's a very special critter to me. You probably will never guess what it is. It's an alligator. They used to have a pit in the zoo there, where the zoo actually was, and it would be a good-sized pit, and it'd have a wall around it and metal things up on top where you couldn't get into it at all. But the alligators were down below, and alligators are really a good thing to me. I like alligators. Some people don't, but I do. I remember that I used to be able to make gator noises. I used to be able to make the gator baby noises. And call for the babies. And I remember that one time I was, my wife and I and my sister and her boyfriend, I don't know, even know if we were married at that time, I don't think we were. We went to Hillsborough River State Park, and we went canoeing. We went on a canoeing trip. And as we got way in the back there, we came across a mother gator ahead of us. And I thought, well, I'm going to try this out. See what happens when I call for the baby gators. And so I did. I made gator noises, and that mother started coming toward us. She was going to protect her babies. And maybe she thought that I had them or something. But she came toward our canoes, and I tried to do it one more time. She slowed down. And I did it one more time, and she started coming. And the two ladies, I remember Diane and my sister Jane, saying, "Get out! Stop it! Stop it! Get out of here!" And so we headed out of there. But I thought to myself, wow, it's pretty neat to be able to call the gators to you. Anyway, me and a fellow went to a park that was a wildlife park, and there's a gator mess there, bunch of gators. And I tried it again, and called the babies. And all those gators came toward me. I thought to myself, move over, Johnny Weissmuller, move over, Tyson. I'm better than you are. Anyway, that was fun. I have fun with animals. I love them pretty much. In fact, they brought in one time a big gator. It's about a 12-footer. That's a big gator. And they brought it from the Fish and Wildlife folks, brought it into bringing it in, and they were going to put it in that gator pond. There was quite a number of gators in there already, but this big one was really something else. And so I helped them. I grabbed the back leg of this male gator. Well, he had it. They had it tied off. You know, the other legs were tied off. But then they cut the tape around him, and we had to hold on to the gator's legs. When you're putting him into the gator pool, you're putting the gator in tail first. Tail first, because that's the only way you can do it. Anyway, they put that one in. The guys had all their legs. And Bill, he was the boss man there. He said, all right, guys. And he was holding on to the gator's snout. And this gator's snout was wrapped with tape. And they undid the tape. And he said, when that tape comes off, we go. We had to push that gator down into the pit there and just drop it in. And that was a good three or four feet. Anyway, when the tape came off, he was holding the gator's jaws closed. This is the big gator we're talking about now. I know he was nervous too, because that thing could open up at any time. Anyway, we all went at the same time. He said, go! And the gator was loose and the tape was off, and we all went and shoved it in. I can remember that gator's head coming toward me like this, about that distance away from me as it went over the top there. So anyway, gators are, to me, they're a lot of fun. But the mother gator calls her babies. She calls them, and it reminds me of a verse in Matthew 22:14. For many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called. And God's call goes out to all. But few, it seemed like, really respond to that call. God knows those who really respond by faith. You can't fool God, by the way. No, sir. You might have been fooled, and I've been fooled by people over the years, pretending to be saved, made it look like they were saved, and all of a sudden they find out, well, they weren't saved at all. Anyway, I might be able to be fooled by, I might fool an alligator, I might fool a peacock, but I can't fool God. You know, the alligator, the mother gator is a gator that is watching over her little ones. When she has her nest, gives birth to her eggs. She has them in a nest. She makes a mound of grasses that she puts over these alligators. And then she puts water in her mouth and keeps the nest wet and cool. And all that time she's watching, because there's possums, there's raccoons, there's snakes, there's kind of all kinds of birds and lizards that will eat those eggs, and other gators also. So she's there, and when she hears her young ones start to make the noise, something like that, close. But anyway, that didn't sound right to me even. Anyway, she waits right there until she hears that. Then she quickly tears her nest apart, because they need to be freed from that nest, or they'll be suffocated. Anyway, she frees them, and then they're fine. They stay right around her. She stays right around them. And that reminds me of the fact that God listens for our cry. He's ready to listen anytime. Just like she was ready to listen, all stay there and not go off and do anything else, but she stays right there. Whether she eats during that time, I don't know. If she can do it, she would. But she stays right there to watch over her baby gators. And that's the way God is with us. He watches over us. He is there. He wants to hear the cry of every individual. Well, let me give you a second animal tonight. This is one that you've probably seen this animal in Tarzan shows, if you remember the old Tarzan movies with Johnny Weissmuller and that sort of thing. When I was a kid, that's all that was on, basically. And Mr. Tarzan had a friend. You remember what that friend was? A what?
Ape or something?
There was an ape, yes, but what do you call that ape? No, it's a chimpanzee, remember? The chimp. And we had in the zoo a couple of chimps. And actually, the chimpanzee they had, her name was Susie. Anyway, this chimp was a young one. And I remember this chimp when I was a kid. Because they would take Susie and they would take Sheena Elephant. And the elephant wasn't very big at that time. It was a small elephant. And they would take her to the hills, to the Gasparilla Parade in Tampa, Florida, where the pirates came into town with their boat and everything, and they caused the town to surrender to them. They invaded. And so Susie and Sheena were in the parade. Susie would be on top of the elephant, riding it, and then she got too big. She got to be an adult. And when they get past a certain age, chimps are not very nice, to say the least. In fact, Susie and one chimp, the male chimp there, when I was at the zoo one time, I heard Chuck. He was one of the men that worked in the zoo. Well, just a couple of guys worked in there in that part anyway. He was hollering. He was at the chimp cage, and he was hollering. No, no, screaming out, basically. And I ran over there as fast as I could. I don't know what I could do. I couldn't get in there. But I could say, okay, it's okay, Chuck. But no, I didn't say anything. When I got there, Chuck had just gotten himself away from that male chimp. The male chimp had grabbed him. And that was Chuck's own fault. He always did this thing, and I would do it too, is give the chimps some water. Because they didn't have water. Chimps don't need a lot of water. They get all their water from the fruits and vegetables they eat. So they don't have a water fountain in their cage there. But Chuck finally got himself away from that chimp. And that chimp, there isn't a man that can be strong as that chimp, as a chimpanzee, when they get big. They are just terribly strong. Anyway, when I was thinking about that chimp, and Susie had a baby, and the baby was named Nikki, and they actually made an actual building for this. Can you imagine the waste? They built a building for the chimp for an older lady that took care of the little baby so they could show it off to the public, and. Because the mayor's name was Nick Nucio, and they named the chimp after the mayor. So they had to make a big deal out of it all. And then Nicky was a little guy, and he came over to me one day. He was just wandering around out there, and she was letting him go because she'd take him home, and she'd put diapers on him and everything else. But he came over to me and I said, "Hi, Nikki, how you doing?" And Nikki came up to me by my leg and chomped. Whoa, he bit me. And I wanted to kick that monkey so bad. I really did. Anyway, this is what we, when we think about these people that are these folks that are professors. One guy was named Walt Lacy. I was knocking on doors in Longview. And I met an ex-convict there. His name was Walt Lacy. And I began to witness to him, and he was seemed to be really interested. He had his two kids. He was out of prison. He was taking care of his two kids, and everything was happening for him, I guess. But I said, and I tried to lead him to Christ, but no, he wasn't ready for that. But then he called me a day or two later and said, "Hey, I want to get saved." And, you know, I said, "Well, you can." So he prayed over the phone and asked the Lord to save him. And I do not believe that was real. It was just a profession. And later on, Diane watched his kids there at his house while I took Walt out to go, what's those fish, big fish on the river? Not salmon, but the steelhead. Sturgeon. Went sturgeon fishing. And I took him out there, and he was sturgeon fishing and all that. Well, I did a lot for him. But, in fact, I let him give his testimony in church, which was a false idea I shouldn't have done. But he wanted to give his testimony. He seemed to be very earnest and very sincere. But it was a bunch of nonsense. It was all about him, not about the Lord. So anyway, I called him up one day, and he was asking about something, and I said, "Walt, you didn't really get saved, did you?" Yes, I don't know if I remember saying that or not. But he said, "What do you mean? I got saved." I said, "No, you didn't. You really didn't trust Jesus Christ as your Savior." He said, "Oh, yeah." And he slammed down the phone. And that was the end of that. Because he was just conning. He was trying to get everything he could out of us to help him. But it was just a con job. You could tell it. Anyway, when I think of this, let's go with me to 2 Peter for just a minute. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. And look at verse 20. It says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world," this is 2 Peter 2:20, "through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them." Well, this reminded me a lot of this fellow, Walt Lacey. And the fact that he had a profession, but there was no possession. There was no change in his life. He was just the same old con artist that he was before. It was just all con. So when I think of the chimpanzee, something, when they get older, you cannot trust them. You couldn't trust them when they're little. But anyway, I'm not crazy about chimps. I never have been. But they're lovely animals, I'm sure. But let me give you another one here. Another animal we had there in the zoo. There was a time when they had a bird cage, and it's a big, pretty big size cage, something like way around like this, and it's up there quite a ways. It had an eagle in it one time, I believe. Anyway, it didn't become a bird cage. It became a cage for a certain type of baboon. And that baboon is the one with the red face or blue face, red face and red bottom, blue bottom, whatever. I'm not sure how it works. But you know what that animal is? Mandrill. Yes, a mandrill. And it's the largest baboon. And anyway, I used to love to go by his cage. And I would yawn. I get him to yawn. I would yawn. I'm not going to show my little teeth off. Okay, I would yawn, and he would open his mouth. And I'm telling you, when he opened his mouth, he had fangs at least that long. Longer than a tiger's, longer than a lion's. I think they're the longest of the animal fangs. I don't know for sure, but I'd love to see those big fangs. He opened his mouth, and one of those things can just about beat a leopard. Two of them can take on a leopard and kill it. And so this mandrill, I would do that to him. I'd yawn for him, and he'd yawn back at me, showing his tusk at me. And then I got to know him a little bit. I'd take some M&Ms with me to his place, to his cage there, and I'd t- tossed the M&Ms to him. I never held them out to him to give it to him, because I know what that little monkey, that little nothing, he's bigger than some most of these kids in here. I know what that monkey could do. All he would have to do is get my hold of my hand, and my arm would be out of socket. Really, seriously, that animal was that strong. And so I'd always flip him an M&M, and he'd just, more. And so he was a real friend of mine. It was getting cold there. October, I guess, and November maybe. And it was getting cold out there. There was no way to heat that cage of his. They tried to put heaters in there, but he tore them up. Tried to put them inside there, but he got in there and tore them up. So they were worried about that mandrill. And one day I happened to be by there when they were working. Two guys, one big fellow that was the superintendent's son-in-law or something. And they were trying to get that. They had a big cage there that they had put alongside that bird cage. So they wanted to get him out of there and take him in the back in the kitchen area where he could be warmed up. Well, they were just working at. They had this hose on. They'd tried to spray him into this box-like cage, and that didn't work. And they had these big, long poles that these two guys were trying to force that mandrill into that cage. Well, that mandrill would have nothing to do with it. He just tore up everything around, and they were just beat to death. I thought to myself, man, if I'd had some M&Ms. I could have got that thing into that cage easy as pie. It wouldn't be nothing. Just toss him in the other end, and he'd have gone in there fast. And I didn't say anything. They were so beat and everything, I didn't say anything. But I thought, well, I had to go to work, my job, whatever it was. And so I went on, and whether it was the next day, I went by there, the cage was empty. It had been cold. And he died. The mandrill just gave it up. He was just so beaten down by the cold and all of that they had to put him down, of course. But I want to show you a verse here, John 5:40. Turn with me to John 5:40. This kind of illustrates this mandrel. Notice what it says in Matthew 5:40. Very simple little verse. And it says in John 5:40, it says in verse 39, search the scripture for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life. That mandrill was, they were trying their hardest to save that monkey, that baboon. But when it comes right down to it, it's a matter of our will, isn't it? People who will not come to Christ, people who will say, oh, I don't need him. And that's what that monkey was doing. I don't need this cage here. I'm fine just the way I am. He's ready to die. So when it comes down, right down to it, it's a matter of the will. What we want to do, what I want to do, I'm going to do. You see, it's very difficult to go any other way. When you want to do something, try to persuade somebody, don't go that way. Oh, I'm going that way. That's the way I'm going, man. But that bridge is out. You might say, I've said this to some folks, that bridge is out. That way is not right, the right way. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. And what I don't want to do, it's very difficult to change a person's mind. It's very important that we show God, young people, it's very important that we show God that we have a teachable spirit. That what God says, we will obey. What he feeds us, I will eat. That's a good song, isn't it? Where he leads, I will go. What he feeds me, I will eat. And so, we're to have a closed mind when it comes to Satan's traps and Satan's ideas. Closed mind. I don't want that. I'm not having that. I'm not going that way. But I'm going the Jesus way. I'm going the Lord's way. And so when it comes to it, we need to have a teachable spirit. Always. Always. Well, let me give you another one, okay? Get your attention back. There was another couple of monkeys in the zoo. Had a lot of monkeys, different ones. Didn't have a gorilla. Didn't have the big monkeys. But this one was. These were two were smaller than the mandrill. These are two brothers, and they were the pigtail macaques, and they didn't have the fangs that the mandrill had. That mandrill could have whipped at both of them easy. But they're strong monkeys. Big. They're good sized monkeys. They're about that size. And you don't want to fool with them anyway. And that's, I'll give you another illustration in just a minute. But these two brother monkeys, they were escape artists, or somebody was letting them out somehow. I don't know what was happening. But they got out one day, and I happened to be in the area. And I don't know where the other one got to, whether they got him already. But I helped them. This monkey, this one pig-tailed macaque was up at the palm tree, way up there by the cages. And they had a guy come with his tranquilizer gun, and they shot the monkey, hit him just right in the backside. And they had a blanket. We had a blanket. I got into this, and we were holding the blanket. So the monkey was coming down after he realized he was going to fall. He was coming down, and he did fall several feet, but we had the blanket right there, caught him, and he was fine. He was just fine. And they took him back there and, of course, got those two brothers back together. But one day, I was there at the zoo. I didn't see anybody around. But then I heard a shot. Now, it's different now. The zoo is different now than what it used to be. At that time, the kitchen and the zoo place was in the back there, where it isn't now. Of course, it isn't there. But they had it, and there was when I heard this shot, I said, where in the world is that guy? And it was Chuck, the same guy that had problems with the chimp. It was Chuck again. He killed one of those pigtail macaques. They'd gotten loose back there. I guess they had moved him out of there, and he got loose from the cage somehow. Both of them did. And so he was sitting there with his rifle. And down below where he shot was a band shell. I mean, that's where people hung out down there. That's where they washed their cars. I've seen a guy paint his car another color there in that area. I thought to myself, what in the world is he doing shooting that gun off? And I asked him, what guy got loose? He said, those monkeys got loose. What? Those two pigtail, and I know he was a very fearful guy. He shouldn't have been working in the zoo. He had no business there. Nevertheless, he killed one of the monkeys. The other monkey got off, trotting off down the way across from the band shell, got out there on the road, and a guy stopped his car. Now, this is a good thing for you to understand. Don't stop your car for a monkey or anything like that, for that matter. He stopped his car, and he opened the door for the monkey. Come on in. And I thought to myself, what an idiot. This guy's crazy. And then the monkey came into this car. And that guy realized, uh-oh, this is bad news. Because that monkey coming right at him. So he slammed his door and he shut the other door. Got him around and shut the other door. I guess it was. I didn't hear all the details. But that's the way that monkey was in the car. And that monkey tore up his car. Just tore it all to pieces. I don't know whether they had to shoot that monkey or not, but I never saw it again. So these two guys are the tough guys, I think. They remind me of the tough guys who think they can make it on their own. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. These are the kind of people that, you know, think they got it made. I've had folks take tracks off their doors after I put them on their doors or trying to visit with them. And I've seen them throw those tracks in New York City. And I would wait until they walked on because they were heading for church or heading for work at the morning. And I'd take that track out of the garbage and I'd put it back on their door. I thought, what are these going to think? Anyway, that was fun. But nevertheless, here, look at this. Proverbs 1:23. Turn you at my reproof, God says. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. God says, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and that did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, and they despised all my reproof. They had no business doing this. Therefore, and people have no business today, therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Destruction awaits those who mock God. I don't have a problem dealing with a lost person. I take it very carefully and very slowly and very trying to my best to be a friend to that lost person. Trying to share with them and overlooking their foul mouths. They cursed. Sometimes people curse without even know they're cursing. I've had that happen many times. But when they're lost, I realize they're lost. I realize there is no hope for them. I realize that they don't know Jesus Christ. They have no change of heart. They don't understand that their hell awaits them. They don't understand that they could go to heaven. Wow. So, anyway, destruction awaits those who mock God. They're going to hear God's laughter. I will laugh at your calamity. And it's not happy laughter. It's chilling laughter. God is saying, you mock me and you don't listen to what I say, you're going to face destruction. And that's what these two macaques were like. Nothing can stop them from going their own way. Tough guys who think they can make it on their own. Well, let me go to the last one here. Let me go to one that shows something else. One that I really, really like, this animal. He was special. In the zoo there, they had all kinds of cats. They had lions. A couple of lions. One of the lions, I would put my fingers, the female, not the male. That was Nero. And this female lion, she would come over to the cage and rub her shoulders side along the cage there, and I would put my fingers in the cage there, and I'd rub her back. It wasn't fearful or scary or anything. It wasn't even dangerous. Well, she'd turn around and, but anyway, I rubbed her and she just purrs. And I love those animals. They had a bobcat. They had a bunch of bobcats in a cage, like right around in here, a cage like that. Oh, I don't know how many bobcats they had. All those bobcats did all day long was just stay right where they're at. And just when one of them moved or flinched, the others, just, it was a terrible thing to have that many bobcats in that cage. But anyway, we also had, the two lions. We had a tiger. His name was Tiny. And he was not tiny. He was a huge, I always thought, boy, if I get Nero and Tiny together somehow, I'd like to see. I bet that tiger would have given, Tiny would have given Nero some real problems. It would have been a terrible fight, though. Anyway, we had another one, another animal, another cat, and that was a mountain lion. Her name was Jeep, and she was raised by a girl before she was brought to the zoo. She was raised by a young lady and a kid, I guess. And got too wild, and so they brought Jeep to the zoo. And Jeep was a very friendly cat. And you understand the reason why I would go into the area there where there's a cage, and then around it has a high fence, so pretty high. But I would have to go in there, in the area there, because I had to clip the grass that was growing, the weeds that were growing. I had a real fantastic machine. It's called a grass clipper. They didn't have, what do you call those, weeders back then. They weren't invented, I don't believe. I have to check on that. But we never had one. I never knew what it were. So I'd go jump over the fence, and I'd clip the grass. And what I did was I'd take the grass, and I'd give it to the cats. And all those cats loved the, except for the bobcats. I never got them to do that. But the rest of them, I gave some grass to them. And they loved it. They loved that grass. And so one day I was doing that for Jeep, and I was clipping around her cage, clipping the glass with my little weed eater. And I took some grass over to her and gave her some. They just love it. They love it. It's what they used to eat, by the way, in the garden. Anyway, she reaches out through the cage with her paw, and she pats me with her paw like that. And I thought, she could have ripped my throat out. I said, I got a little bit nervous. I said, okay, I'm not going to do that anymore. I would massage her too. She was one of those massagers. But there was this one cat that I liked the best. And his name was Tommy. Tommy was a jaguar. Tommy is about 2 years old. He was just a bouncing, happy cat. The two leopards, Nick and something else, I forget her name, they were in the cage right beside him. I never got close to them. They don't play with those leopards, no. But him as a jaguar, he was just glad to see me. I would clip some grass, I'd give it to him, and then I'd pet him. I'd stick my fingers in there and rub his fur. And he loved it. And I loved it, because it was exciting to me. You know, who gets to pet lions and tigers and bears? Not me. I'm not going to pet no bear. But anyway, one day, I was walking by Tommy's cage, the leopard's cage, and I happened to look in that area between the cage and the outside fence there. And lo and behold, there was Tommy. Somehow he got out of his cage. And I thought, what? Tommy's out of his cage! And I got excited, you know. And so I ran back to the kitchen area where they get the food and for all the animals. And I was coming back there. Hey guys! Tommy's loose! There wasn't anybody there. I said, oh no. So I had to, came back. And a fellow, there was a skinny guy called Joe Giglio. He couldn't have weighed 100 pounds. He was that skinny. If he stood sideways, he'd disappear. He had to wear skis in the bathtub because he'd go down the drain. That's how small he was. Anyway, I thought Joe was standing there, and Tommy was back in his cage. I said, how did you do? He said, I just took the hose, the water hose that we water the animals with, or water their cage anyway, and them, or messes anyway. Anyway, he said, I just took the hose and I let him back into his cage. Put him back there, and he's just fine. I said, hi, Joe, way to go, man. I thought, my goodness, this 100-pound or less man is he's a hero to me. I thought, wow. Because Tommy was not supposed to be out of his cage. Tommy was out of his cage, but Tommy came back. Look at that verse again in Proverbs. Proverbs 1:33. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. You see, Tommy let himself be dragged or pulled back into his cage. He would have been terrified of what was out there by himself. But if God's word, it finds a niche in somebody's heart, God can bring the strongest to him. God can do it. So anyway, the alligator, many are called, but few are chosen. And when I think of the chimpanzee, not to be trusted, not to be trusted. God knows those who really trust him too. And when I think of those pigtail macaques, Because of their way, they eventually destroyed themselves. And then I think of that mandrill, because he was so stubborn, he was going to do it his way. I'm not going in that cage. I'm not going to safety. And so he died. And then I think of that jaguar, Tommy. Tommy was docile. He let himself be led back to his cage. Well, the problem so many times is pride, isn't it? Not willing to humble ourselves. Not willing to humble ourselves. Not willing to face up to our sin. Not willing to ask for forgiveness. Not willing to repent. Not willing to bend. I remember playing when I was a kid with the kids in the neighborhood. They would come to our house, all of them. Because we had the best trees in the world there. Huge trees. Swings that I made. And so forth. We did all kinds of things. But the kids were mostly younger than me. I think they're all younger. And the boys, they would get onto me, and they'd hold me down. Maybe four or five of them would get on me and wrestle me down. And then they'd take my fingers or something and bend them or something. I said, oh, no, don't. I give up. I had to say, I give up. Those kids would have torn me to pieces. At least broken something anyway. But I was willing to say, I give up, kids. And they were basically, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years younger than me at the time. I don't know. But enough of them. When you get enough of them on you, you can't do much about it. But I was willing to say, I surrender. And that's what every kid, boy, girl, adult needs to do to Jesus Christ. I surrender, Lord, to you. Have you done it? Have you made that surrender? I hope you've gained something out of this tonight that'll be an encouragement to you. Because God made all those animals for us to look at and take note of and get some smarts from. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement it is to us. Help all these kids to surrender to you, every one of us adults too. Lord, that none of us will try to make it on our own, but we'll trust in you to take us all the way to heaven. Father, bless now, I pray, in the prayer time. I ask in Jesus' name, amen.